Firstly, it's been really great. So thank you so much to everybody who's shared so far. Yeah, there's lots of things that we could have shared in this time together. But I trust so far it's helpful. If it hasn't been, then you've got some questions. You can send in your questions still. But I wanted to kind of start off with the idea that it's not two halves becoming one. It's two wholes coming together, you know, the complete people. But before we get there, do you want to just briefly share how we met, something about that that would benefit them? Is it on?
You got to be smarter than the technology.
Yeah.
So Shane and I also met on an outreach. It seems like that's a good place to meet prospective, you know, people that
we'll advertise our Zoom mission to. It's coming up.
So hang around so you can hear about the outreaches happening. But I definitely wasn't looking for a relationship at that stage. I was kind of mad at guys in general because I was just so disappointed with what I thought they should be like and how they should be, and especially all these Christian guys, you know? And what's also funny is half the girls on this outreach were crazy about Shane. I'm going to struggle to do this briefly. I'll go quicker. And I remember all these girls talking and being like, oh, look, he's so handsome and he loves Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, he's not my type. And I think what was awesome is, you know, after that, we moved, skipping a lot of interesting, juicy tidbits. But after that,
on that page, you can scan the QR code.
You share a lot more in that seminar. But
yeah,
I think both of us moved in the same circles for a while after that. Had the same friends, went to the same church, served in the same church. And one thing I did notice about him was I really had so much respect for the way he was serving God, the way he was loving people, the way he was basically spending his life for Jesus and for people. And I remember saying to God at one point, wow, Lord, I just want to say, I know you know what kind of husband I would need, you know, better than I do. But I just want to say, if I could pick someone, then this would be the kind of guy I would pick. Like, that's what I wanted. Like, someone who was passionate about Jesus, but also who actually had the track record of, I could see that he was actually serving Jesus and laying his life down, not just having a big mouth. But I mean, half the girls in church were crazy about him. So I obviously didn't ever think I would stand a chance. And we actually became better friends because I was really struggling with depression at that stage. I was on a lot of medication. And
then she met me.
And Shane actually felt sorry for me. and he was like, Lord, I know there's like really good teachings that I listened to that's changed my life. I must maybe just give this poor girl like something to listen to. Shame. And then we were chatting one day and I said to him, you know, I'm kind of going through a little bit of a rough time, a little bit. Do you maybe have something I could listen to? He's like, yes. And what I listened to, like, it's just, I had been a Christian my entire life and I had never understood the gospel. And as I understood the gospel, like, it impacted me tremendously. But I mean, I still didn't think we'd ever date or anything.
What was that date again? June? 23rd of June. We're going to have another conference like this, but we're going to speak about how to be happy, and it'll be basically what she's talking about now.
Okay, so 23rd of June, everybody. paint it in. So I was kind of already in a space where my heart was changing because of the word. And I was in a space where I had told God, like this is the kind of guy I would want to marry because of what I could see in him. And then do you want to?
That's also my part of it was, like she had said, I'd heard about the troubles that she was having with her depression. And I had experienced freedom from that. So I was like, I've got teachings that can help her. But I was tired of being that guy who always gave teachings to people.
And then they don't listen to
it. I am that person now. And I was talking to someone in the week and I was like, I'm sorry to be that guy. I don't know who it was. Maybe it was one of you. But I was like, I'm sorry to be that guy who always just gives you another teaching to listen to, but this is what's going to help you. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, like she has to come and ask for it. I'm not offering. And she came and asked for it. And I saw how the word changed her life. And then I decided that's the person I want to marry.
And just before this, it wasn't like he was interested in me.
No, I said to a mutual friend of ours, he had told me, Shame, she's really struggling with her depression and this is really tough for her. And I was like, Lord, I really don't want to marry someone like that. Like someone who's up, and this is true, someone who's up and down like a yo-yo. I don't have time for that. I really like, you know, if you've got a purpose, you got direction, you got to choose wisely who you're going to marry.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I need someone who's more stable than that. And it's true. I'm willing to be stable. So I want someone to be stable. And I had become stable. And we saw the word, like a word had changed me, but I saw how the word changed Martin. And it was like, well, bingo. And so our story, which you can hear on that, on the other teachings, was really just that I asked her, I'd asked close friends who were strong believers and they were good in the word. I asked them, what do you think about this? Got their input. And then I asked her if we could be purposeful in a relationship. So it wasn't, would you date me? Because I believe dating is a practice for divorce. Because you're practicing something, it doesn't work out. Let me move on to the next one. So I decided I wouldn't date, but I'm interested in you. So let's be purposeful. And on that website, there's also a million and one questions that you can download and ask each other questions to find out, you know, is this the person that I want to spend the rest of my life with? So we went through those questions back in 2009. And 4 weeks, six weeks later, I asked her to marry me after I had spoken to her parents. And, you know, I was confident. This is who I want to marry. Why waste time? And I went to Bible college in the States and came back and got married. And it was just smooth and it was awesome. And we've never regretted it. Mm. And so, you know, I'm not saying your story has to be quick, but what I am saying is that there's certain things that we've learned. And some of those things we'll share tonight in the evening session, but there's certain things that we learned and we put into practice in before marriage and after marriage, which really made a big difference. We've seen people do the opposite or people do things different and it doesn't work out. And then they come and ask us, why didn't it work out? I want to do this. And then I'm like, well, this is how we did it. No, that worked for you. It's not going to work for me. Like, well, the principles we followed were in the word. So if you give it a shot, it can work for you.
Do you want to share what your tick list was for the kind of person?
We get there. I think that's good. So I have a couple of things I want to share. On the right-hand side, there's a couple of verses there.
Okay.
So read Genesis chapter 1 or whatever that Genesis is.
2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
So John Mark kind of mentioned this, and I think it's good to hammer it. From this idea, hammer it in more. He did a good job at it. But from this scripture, a lot of us have the idea that I'm incomplete without a spouse. So read it again.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
Now, if you've been in Grace Life for a period of time, you'll know much more depth to what I'm about to say. And so it'll make sense for you. If you haven't been, then I want to encourage you to kind of hang around and get some more meat on this because it'll make more sense. But, you know, the Bible's not talking about marriage here. If you look at the word helper there, in the Hebrew, it's only ever used to describe God, never a person. And so whilst Moses, who wrote this, is using relationships and all sorts of things the deeper thing that he's doing is telling the gospel. And the gospel here is that he has a helper for us that's going to complete us. So read the next verse there.
John 15, verse 26, Jesus speaking. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me.
So the Helper referred to in Genesis is it's a prophecy of the Holy Spirit. Because you can be complete without a spouse, and you should be. If you're not complete by yourself and satisfied by yourself, no one's going to satisfy you. If you're not happy by yourself, no one's going to make you happy. You know, so if you're like just eager, I want this relationship, I'm desiring this and whatever, I promise you, you're going to get into a relationship and the person's going to be miserable because of you. Because you're going to be wanting more than they can give you. It's exactly going to happen like that. So Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit coming to help us. Read the next verse.
Colossians 2 verse 10. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power.
So we're complete in Christ, not in a relationship with anybody. We're complete in our relationship with Christ. And so, you know, how do you prepare for marriage? You prepare for marriage by focusing in on becoming complete in Christ. How do you have a healthy marriage? Focus on your completeness in Christ. Like, you know, you're discovering your identity. That's how you become complete in Christ. You're growing in your relationship with him. But there's another side of this that I really want to add in. And that is that if you think about it, Muslims, Hindus, atheists can have amazing marriages. So you don't need Jesus to have a good marriage. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. But you don't need Jesus to have a good marriage or a happy marriage. This shows us that marriage isn't our primary purpose. Anyone can have a marriage. Okay? Anyone can. It might not be as God designed it or as God desired it for us, but anyone can have a marriage. So we've got to understand, like, when the Bible talks about marriage, it's talking about, like Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, he's talking about our relationship with Christ. That's our main purpose. And if you want a satisfied marriage where you don't have to kind of figure out your terms of conditions and all of this, then what it's going to take is you discovering your relationship with God, which is eternal. Jesus said, in heaven, there's neither marriage nor remarriage or divorce or anything. So it's like, you marry this person till death do you part, not for eternity.
Yeah.
You marry the person till, yeah. And yet so many of us are so focused and hung up on, I need a marriage, I need a spouse, I need a this, I need a that. And then it's like, what about eternity? You know, we're not focusing on the things that are actually going to matter for eternity. So anyhow, I want to say a couple of things in pitch in. Let me take that from you. Just with regards to, you know, what should you want in a spouse? I think we've covered the singleness season and all of that very well. And there's a lot of things that we could still say about that, but I think it's time to move on to this. And that is, what should you want in a spouse? I think it's important not to base your decision on emotions or feeling of, I'm attracted to this person, even though it can start out there. Like, that's their story. It's not our story. You know, we weren't really attracted to each other, which is shocked to most people. But we grew in love. Yeah, we. One of the worst things that you can do is get married because God told you to. You want to explain something about that?
A lot of people, maybe mostly Christians, obviously, will pray about God. Should I marry this person? Or they will say, God gave me a sign. We had a girl in church years ago who was stuck in an incredibly unhealthy, toxic relationship. They were both attending church and she really needed to break up with this guy. It was bad. And she told me, I can't, because God gave me a sign that this is my husband. Now, firstly, someone is not your husband until you physically stood in front of the guy who marries
people. We like to say it like this, like, how do you know who your spouse is? How do you know who your husband one day or your wife is going to be? Do you want me to tell you? It's when the minister says, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Before then, God's not even going to say, this is your spouse, because that person can still reject you.
God can give you wisdom and he can give you insight and he can tell you how to pick someone.
But there isn't the one.
There isn't only one person. And secondly, you have to choose and they have to choose. But anyway, this girl said, God gave me a sign that this is my husband. And so she was stuck in this relationship that was destroying her and destroying the other person because she thought God had told her that she has to marry this guy. Okay. God will not tell you to marry someone. That's one of the choices we get to make on this earth. Again, he can give us wisdom. He can give us peace that something is a good decision. But you choose, because you're going to have to be the one to keep choosing that for the rest of your
life. We were doing a marriage counseling with a couple once, They had been fighting, and she said to him, "The only reason I haven't left is because God told me to marry you." Ouch. And you know how deep that cut him? Because it's like, was that the only reason you married me?
It's God told you to.
You know, like there's got to be more to that, you know, more than that. But anyway, so the couple things we want to say is like, you got to make a decision. God gives you the decision, life or death, blessings or curses. You get to choose what life you want. He doesn't push a life on you. You have to choose it.
Yeah.
And so the same thing with a spouse, you have to choose it. I mean, I know lots of testimonies about God gave me a dream. That's my spouse. One of our pastors, they had that happen. It's not Etienne or me. Yeah. He met his on Facebook. So you can ask him for tips. Marketing tips on Facebook. Yeah. The point is that it can work in many different ways. And sometimes it works out, but you have to make the choice actually at the end of the day. Yeah, Carl and Alicia in Albania, they were the ones. He had a dream about her being his wife, and she never spoke to him, I think, for 3 years after he declared that to her. If God gives you a dream or a word or a vision or an angel comes to visit you and says, so-and-so is your spouse, keep your mouth shut until the honeymoon. You can make moves, you can try your best or whatever, but don't tell them, God told me. Yeah. And if you've done that, repent. So make a decision based on wisdom and truth.
Yeah.
Okay, wisdom would be the timing. Am I ready for this? Are they ready for this? Is she going to write an exam tomorrow? Things like that. Truth would be about the character.
Yeah.
Like, when you get married, you're marrying someone for who they are, not who you hope they will be. Every single one of us have the potential to be a billionaire. But you can't go to the bank and say, I've got potential. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
So don't marry potential. You know, if you like someone, tell them, yeah, I like you, but I'm waiting for you to step into more of your potential. Not to be a billionaire, but to be a better person maybe or something. Like if they've got bad habits and things like this, maybe confront them and say, you know what, I like you, but I can't see myself with you for the rest of my life with your anger problems. Maybe you need some discipleship. Go and speak to pastor. Yeah.
Wisdom is also knowing that you've got a calling.
Mm.
You've got a calling to be an ambassador of Christ, and each of us have that same calling. So wisdom is knowing you can't marry someone just because you love them. Because you can love someone who is a drug addict.
But I mean, what is love? Thank you.
Like we don't marry someone because we love them. We marry someone because I have a calling. I have a purpose in my life. And that's something to maybe discover before you choose a spouse is what is my purpose in life? Can we live out this purpose together or not? Because you can love someone and they're not going to actually live your purpose with you.
So purpose is key. Know your purpose and find someone who knows their purpose and then go forward together in purpose. I like what Pastor Isaac from Zim says. He's like, don't bother getting married unless it's going to help your purpose.
Yeah.
Don't desire marriage unless it's going to make your God-given purpose, like help you reach that and walk in that. So a couple of other things. Firstly, have a list. You got to know what you want. Like, think about it. What do I want in a spouse? But don't stop it. I want a Christian. There's many different types of Christians. Okay. Some people think they're Christian. But, a Christian is someone who believes in that Jesus came. He was the Messiah, the promised one, and he died. He was buried and he rose from the dead for us to forgive us of our sins so that if we believe in him, we can have everlasting life. Okay. That's what we believe. If you've never heard of that, come talk to us afterwards. And we can pray with you and you can become a Christian for real. But the thing is like they can't just go to church. They can't just like be, you know, they've got to be a real believer. The Bible says we shouldn't be unequally yoked. That shouldn't even be a question for you. I've sat with people, Christians, who are like, but they're such a nice person and I love them so much. Why do you want to be disobedient to the word? Let me change that. Why do you want to be disobedient to God? Like we should be better than that. You know, it only brings heartache And some great testimonies. We had one lady in church, you know, she was like, I know it was wrong, but I'm married. She was in her 80s when we knew her. I knew it was wrong, but God told me I should marry this guy. And he wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew. And I was like, but you know that God wouldn't tell you to marry someone who's not a Christian. She was like, I know. She's just excusing it, you know. And she said, but her greatest joy was that after years of marriage, which they had a happy marriage, on his deathbed, he accepted Jesus as the Messiah. But imagine, like, I mean, that's great. But do you really want a testimony like that? Like, you know, God's got more for you. So you want to marry someone or look for someone who's submitted to the word, realizing you're not going to find a Hebrew scholar. You're not going to find someone who knows Greek in the Bible. You're not going to find someone necessarily who's perfect. Martin is taken, I'm taken. Okay? You're not going to find someone who's perfect, but you've got to find someone who's heading in the right direction. And you realize, like, you know, they might still make some bad decisions. But in order for you to set yourself up, not like, that's why we gave out the lucky packet as a prize, because it was like some people treat relationships like that. You don't know what you're going to get. You got to know the character that you're marrying, because character doesn't change easily. So look for key things in character and then, you know, marry them like a big and realize you're not going to change them, you know, but realize they're not perfect. So they've got room to grow. But there's some key essentials that you've got to look. Do they have character? Okay. Like, for example, faithfulness. Mm. Are they constantly dropping the ball in everything? Do they let everybody down? They've got some growing to do. You want to say something on faithfulness?
Do they do what they say they will?
Yeah.
Like, it's a very simple thing, but it's amazing how many people think it's okay to say one thing and do something else. And that's not something you can build a life with.
Mm. You know, if they've got like bad habits, we're not talking about like leaving the toothpaste lid off. You know, we talk about bad habits. then you can challenge them on that. Like, but don't like, if you're not going to be happy if they don't change, don't marry them.
Yeah.
You know, and what we like to say is like a successful relationship before marriage is one which ends in I can see myself with this person for the rest of my life, or I cannot see myself with this person for the rest of my life. So then in marriage, in the dating, courtship, whatever, you're kind of exploring that question. Can I see myself with this person for the rest of my life? As soon as you can answer the question, break up or get married.
Mm.
As soon as, which means don't take anything in relationship that you wouldn't want someone to take from your future spouse. And treat them like a brother or sister in Christ until you get to that place of, we're married. Like, there's no one else for me. And then you make that decision and you move forward. Okay. But when it comes to, before marriage, be purposeful. Have fun, but be purposeful. Okay. Think about what you want character-wise. You know, if they commit to something, do they follow through on that? Are they always late? You know, ask questions like that. Like, is this person the kind of person I want to have father or mother, my children?
Mm.
Yeah. Or do they have a temper that's going to scare my kids one day? Because maybe they should deal with that first. So another thing I'll just go through quickly. So when it comes to your list, like, make sure you're not limiting God with your list.
Mm.
Yeah, we have this idea, don't limit God. So write down whatever you want. No. I only wanted someone submitted to the word.
Mm.
That's what I gave up on everything else. I have a friend who, when I was in matric and late in high school, her list, she was much older than me, so I didn't fit the list, thankfully. But like, she told me about her list. She wants someone who's obviously a Christian, it's called to missions, somebody who's can play a musical instrument, someone who plays a sport. Someone who comes from this area of Durban, because I'm from Durban, because she likes the guys who kind of from there, they're very hip and whatever, and they're trendy. And like, she just had all these things. And I was like, listen, I think you're limiting God with your list. Because what if God's got someone for you and they don't come from Kloof? what if he can't play a musical instrument or sing to save his life? Like what then? And years later, I think it was probably like 15 years later, she admitted that she maybe was a bit too strict on her list, because she's still unmarried. Okay.
Why is that?
The awesome thing is her heart has changed, where now she's like, Lord, I would love a companion, but she's been on mission in so many countries. I don't even know, Egypt, here, there, everywhere. Like, she's a missionary. And now she's like, she's living for the Lord. She's fulfilling her purpose. She's satisfied. And if she never gets married, she's okay, although she'd love to. So it's okay, you know, because she's living for more than that. But don't limit God by a carnal list, okay? Then the other thing is like a lot of people say, I don't want to marry my best friend. Why?
That's a stupid
thing. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, you want someone that you get along with. You don't have to know each other or be best friends when you get married, but you want to become best friends and hang out. You don't have to do everything the same. You know, I remember someone saying to me, they're considering breaking up with their girlfriend. They're both of them godly, both of them awesome. But the reason is because she doesn't like cycling. I was like, are you looking for a buddy or are you looking for a wife? That's what I asked. Are you looking for a buddy or are you looking for a wife? Because, like, she's good wife material, I can tell you. I know her well enough to, she's what's it? Throw.
Yeah.
Like, she's good marriage material. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I want someone I can cycle with. I was like, what if you were in a car accident and you couldn't cycle anymore? And he's like, no. Yeah. And then she's like, yeah, but she goes to all of your cycling things and she's waiting at the finish line for you. She's supporting you, but I would love to cycle with someone. I kind of just moved on, like, make up, you know, go for it. Anyway, physical looks and attraction. I wonder if we got time for this. Let me share this. Can you read Proverbs 31:30 there in the square?
Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised.
So, no, this is so important because, yeah, the word charm is deceptive. Charm is the power or quality of delighting, attracting, or fascinating others. Often in dating, we're trying to put our best foot forward. Yeah, and as soon as you secure the lady guys, the lady, comma, guys. Anyway, as soon as you secure the one that you think this is the one, like, all of a sudden you go back to your default and the charm is gone because you've won the prize. But anyway, yeah, do you want someone to market themselves to you in such a way that you are attracted because they've been charming? Mm. No, you want someone who's real.
Mm.
You know, it's like, I don't know what program this was. We watched something. And remember the wife before, when she would kiss her husband goodnight, and as soon as he would fall asleep,
oh, yes,
she'd go and take the curlers, put the curlers in, and she'd take the makeup off and she'd kind of like get back into her normal life. And then before he woke up, put the makeup on, do all of this stuff, because he's never seen her without makeup or the hair done or anything like this. You know, you don't want that. Okay. We got to look for character. Okay. So, you know, when it comes to feelings, and all of that, like, we've got to be wise, okay? Because, you know, feelings, attraction, I've had so many conversations, I'm just not attracted to her. There's an attraction which is necessary, but a lot of what you think is attraction is pornography or Hollywood.
Mm.
And so you've been shaped by your attraction. But your attraction has been shaped by what you've been exposed to. Yeah, if you lived in... If you by yourself, your family grew up, you grew up in some random little country in Africa, you know, your attractions would be different, or in Asia or wherever.
Your idea of beauty would be
different. Your idea of beauty would be different. It's dependent on the culture.
Mm.
And so the point there is like, you might actually need some discipleship in that area. You know, just to rethink, what is attraction? What are you looking for? Because, you know, for some guys I've spoken to, like, this is a big problem, and they're like not willing to budge on certain attractional looks. And it's like, you know, you should be single. because that's not maturity. Okay. So, you know, what this verse is basically saying is that you're looking for a woman who fears the Lord, which means they've got a healthy relationship with God. So anyway, the essentials of considering a potential spouse is character, calling, worldview and values, like considering what they believe, what are they pursuing? And then is there a friendship that you have with them? Do you have a friendship with them? Can you get along with each other? You know, not can you both pay the bills? That's an important one. But first and foremost, you need to consider like companionship, compatibility and things like that. Something else you want to say there? So, last thing I want to say is, are you trusting God for a spouse? Ask yourself that question. If you're single, are you trusting God for a spouse? This is the last thing I want to comment on. Because if you are, maybe you should adjust your perspective on that and stop it a little bit and stop over-spiritualizing it. Because there's many testimonies like this, but one girl in church years back, she said, why hasn't God brought me my spouse yet? And she was angry with God. And I was like, it doesn't work like that. Have you considered this person? And I said, I would even like this guy who was also saying the same thing. And I was like, you know, I think I said to both of them on separate private conversations, I think that you guys could actually make a good couple. No, not what they're looking for. The other guy eventually found someone, got married. She's still single. At the moment, she's dating some woman. Because she hasn't found a guy yet. How much was she really trusting God? The point is, she's no longer around. But the point is that like he's not going to bring you a spouse. Now, he could have your paths cross or whatever. But the point is like, he's not in control of these things. So you focus on becoming whole and you focus on walking in your purpose. And then you find someone who's going in the same direction and then make a decision. Okay. Yes. Pray about it. Put your faith into action though. If you like someone, talk to them. That's the first step. If you like someone, talk to them. Then, you know, hang out with each other. The best place to find someone is serving in church because you see faithfulness in action.
Yeah.
The best place to see someone is on mission trip when their buttons are pushed.
Mm.
You know, when they have to sleep on a concrete floor sometimes. Yeah, the best place to find someone is in moments like that where it's not so easy, but you're serving together, you're growing together, you're learning together and all of that. Okay, but you've got to know what you want. You're running in your purpose. You're running in a direction. And you find someone who's going in the same direction. And then you make a choice wisely. You make a choice wisely. The last thing I'll say, and I followed this from when I was 16. Okay, everything we've spoken about. When I was 16, I learned a little bit about relationships. And then I was like, wow, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to date. I'm going to find a wife, my wife one day. I'm going to be friends with all these women, and I'm just going to like my sisters in Christ. And then one day God's going to say, that's not your sister. Not in a way that God pointed out, but you know, I'll just be like, wow, this is someone I want to marry. And I told my friend Angelo, many of you know Angelo, when I learned that, he was there. And so I told him that, and he thought, you know, maybe I'm a little bit crazy, but I'm married and he's not. Anyway, so, you know, I remember after Martin and I got married, he said to me, I always thought like that you were a little bit crazy with this. I'm not going to date. I'm just going to find a woman that I want to marry and get married. And he said, but here you are. You know, the point is that I just decided I'm going to only start dating or courting when I'm ready to get married.
Hmm.
And until then, I'm going to be a satisfied single. I'm going to enjoy my single life, not having extra responsibilities or demands or anything like this. I'm just going to go for it and enjoy being single, go on mission trips, do this, do that, you know, may have lots of friends. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to start like pursuing someone, depending on if I find someone. And I remember even thinking, you know, 25 is maybe a good age to get married. I even thought of that randomly in my head. And one day on a Friday evening, I was living with my grandmother at the time, and I was sitting in her lounge. We were watching some movie on TV or a DVD, and we were having some nice pizza together. And she stopped the movie. She said, Shane, why aren't you dating? She's like, you're never going to get married if you don't date. I was like, Nan, don't worry about that. I believe dating is a practice for divorce. I said, God will bring the right person across my path as I'm pursuing my purpose and it'll work out. Don't worry. She's like, I don't believe that. Like, you need to meet people. And she's right. You need to meet people. But I said, I'm only going to focus on that when I'm ready for marriage. And I said, I only felt like God say, I prayed about it and I feel like the Lord saying, only be concerned with that when you're 25. And she said, you do know that that's next year. And I'd only realized it then. I was like, of course I do. And I was like, dear Jesus, I better start like putting my head in the game here. And then I took it from there. You can listen to the journey online. But the point is like you have to be purposeful about it. You have to put yourself out there. You can't wait for God to drop someone from heaven. Doesn't work like that. Amen?
Amen.
So, any last thoughts? Great. We trust that this has been helpful for you. In the next session, obviously, it's the church service, so we have a bunch of other people coming too. And Etienne and myself are going to be talking about healthy relationships, not just marriage, but in general. And we're looking forward to that. So please join us for that if you can stay. Otherwise, until 6 o'clock, we're going to have some coffee and enjoy some fellowship. And if you'd like to give, the box is at the back. We appreciate your giving to help meet the expenses for today. But we really trust that it's been a blessing to you. Amen? Amen. If you have questions or you want more information, you're welcome just to contact us. Do you have something else you want to say in closing? Great.
I just want to say that with the coffee now afterwards, there's also rusks and cookies, amazing muffins, brownies. So if you hang around, you can have snacks. Some of those things. There's snacks.
Single people usually need that. Let me pray. You know, now's the opportunity for us to lay hands on you and we'll declare over you that you find your spouse. No, I'm joking. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, that you have good things in store for us. Thank you that, you know, even if we have a bad picture of marriage, I thank you that you can correct that. Thank you that even though we might struggle with relationships right now and even, you know, relating to the opposite sex or whatever, I thank you, Father, that you can change that. That the answers are in the Word. That if anybody here is struggling with being a satisfied single, I thank you, Father, that you can help change that. So I just pray for each person right now, wherever they are at, thank you that you are ministering to them, Father, and that you are helping them where they are. And you're helping them get from where they are to where they need to be. I just keep your eyes closed. I really just sense so strongly like this is an invitation from God for you. You know, the church isn't just meant to be a bless me club or a thing where you go to fulfill a religious observance or something like that. Church is a place where you do life. And I just feel like the Lord's just inviting you, saying, hey, you know, if you're struggling with relationships, if you're struggling with identity, if you're struggling with anything, you're in discipleship from good leaders within the church family. That's where he's got your answer. That's where he wants to help you. He wants to help you get to that place of wholeness so that you can add value to someone else's life. So there's just an invitation for you to, if you're in a church already, just to lean in even more. Receive from the leadership there. If you're not in a church, you're welcome here or find one where you can receive and grow and become all that you are destined to become. Also feel like God's just saying, you know, some of you are struggling in the area of purpose. You don't have direction. And God's just saying, that's okay. You don't have to have all the answers, but the answers you'll find, especially within church, within relationship with him and community. So, Father, I just pray that if someone needs to make a decision concerning stepping into community more and receiving from leadership more, that they would just make those decisions because it's going to benefit them. But the greatest decision that you can make is obviously relationship with God. You know, if your relationship with God isn't settled, it doesn't matter how good your marriage is, because it's going to end one day when you or your spouse dies. And then what? You know, relationship with God is eternal. It's something for eternity. And it's so easy. You don't have a relationship with God because you have a relationship with the church. You have a relationship with God because you yourself chose to believe that he died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. And you choose to believe the gospel that you can be saved from eternal damnation by putting your faith in him. And if you're here and you're saying, I've never made that decision, then we want to give you that opportunity before we leave, because that's more important than marriage. That's more important than money. That's more important than anything. If you've never made a decision to receive Christ, then now's a great opportunity. With our eyes closed, just if that's you and you're saying, I haven't made that decision, just raise your hand so we can pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. I'm just going to pray with you where you are. So if that's you, just indicate so I know that there's someone. The greatest decision you can ever make. Then, assuming that we're all family, I really want to challenge you to lean into community. Lean into growing in community, because it's going to bless your future children. It's going to bless your future spouse. Father, I just speak blessing over every person in this room and over every future marriage. Thank you that you help us learn how to have healthy marriages, how to prepare for them, so we can just bring you much glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust this teaching has blessed you and enriched you in your faith. We want to invite you to contact us online, www.gracelife.co. That's www.gracelife.co. You can find a whole bunch of free teachings online. You can also find out how to partner with us should you wish to support this ministry. And you can find out how to contact us if you have a prayer request. We invite you to contact us, www.gracelife.co.